sundak. Petty sundak, a petty sundak. Petty sundak, a petty sundak. Petty sundak, a petty sundak.
On Power FM.
The Power FM Lifetime News is brought to you by the National Pension Scheme Authority, NAPSA.
It's the Silver Jubilee at NAPSA, celebrating a quarter of a century of growth, innovation, and social security. Update your NAPSA details and stand a chance to win a fully serviced slot in Lusaka. For more information, visit www.napsa.co.zm or NAPSA Facebook page at Your NAPSA. Be smart. Secure your future.
Bringing you hot off the press news from Lusaka, Arkabwe, Livingstone, and Copperbelt News Bureau. The Power FM News. FM News.
Opposition MMD faction leader Nervous Mumba connects tension in the country to fight against corruption. Economist Dr. Luminda Hawazoka calls for strengthened economic policies for Zambia to double gross domestic product. In international news, more than 80% of health facilities in eastern Congo are out of medicine, Red Cross says. In sports, Zambia pick up a vital win over Tanzania.
And now, the Power FM News.
To present the lunchtime news, my name is Viola Chuma. Opposition Movement for Multi-Party Democracy President Dr. Nervous Mumba has attributed some of the tensions being experienced in the country to the ongoing fight against corruption. Dr. Mumba says those who have been probed and implicated in corruption cases are becoming reactive as they fight for their survival and begin to flex their political and social influence. Speaking on Voice of the People during Power FM's breakfast show, Dr. Mumba noted that the fight against corruption is often seen as brutal and targeted. He emphasized that the anti-corruption crusade certainly implicates powerful individuals with influence across various sectors, making it a difficult but necessary battle. In the meantime, Dr. Mumba has commended the new Don administration for the progress made in tackling corruption, adding that eradicating the vice is a gradual process. He also paid tribute to the late former president, Levi Mwanawasa, describing him as an extraordinary leader who dedicated his time in office to improving the lives of Zambians and remained a true champion against corruption.
President Levi Mwanawasa was a real fighter against corruption. He was a general in his efforts to ensure that corruption was dealt with. And the zero tolerance to corruption, which he himself adopted, created an environment in the nation where people were for the first time aware that if you play the game of corruption, it's going to end badly. And I think that's what he needed to do, and he achieved that. This current administration has also taken upon itself to ensure that we carry on from the legacy of fighting corruption. And if you notice, some of the tension that we're experiencing in the nation arises from the fact that the fight against corruption is a brutal fight at this point. Corruption implicates the powerful, implicates those with money, and they have influence in all sectors of society. So once you touch them, you start a fire that could burn many people, and you call it instability, you call it conflict in the nation. It really isn't. Sometimes it's just those people that are implicated in corruption trying to fight for their survival and trying to flex their muscles. So I think that this administration is doing its best.
Economist Dr. Luminda Hawazoka has called for extensive strengthening of economic policies if the country is to double its gross domestic product by the year 2031. Dr. Hawazoka said there is a critical need to improve the ease of doing business across various sectors, emphasizing that a conducive business environment will serve as a foundation for sustainable economic growth. He further identified stimulus packages as essential tools for driving economic activity and contributing significantly to GDP generation. According to Dr. Hawazoka, these interventions should be well targeted to support key growth areas such as agriculture, manufacturing, mining, and technology. He has since urged government to prioritize investments in infrastructure, skills development and innovation, noting that these areas are crucial for unlocking long-term productivity and attracting both local and foreign investment.
Government has started talking about doubling Zambia's GDP because economic growth is very important in order to sustain Zambia's fast-growing population. Population, the rate at which our economy grows should be higher than the rate at which the population grows. If we have to sustain livelihoods of our citizens to be able to provide jobs and services, other services to citizens. For us to be able to double GDP, we need to be able to grow around 8%, 8 to 10%. We need to ensure that we mechanize farming, to move away from oil, to building machinery so that we can expand.
In another development, economist Niza Piri has expressed concern on the delayed streamlining of the operations of the Industrial Development Corporation, which has continued to post financial losses. Speaking in an interview with Parafirm Copperbelt Bureau, Mr. Piri expressed disappointment that an entity established to generate profits has instead been marred by operational chaos, largely due to excessive interference in its day-to-day management. Mr. Piri further underscored the urgency of appointing competent leadership to maintain the corporation's key assets, warning that continued delays could result in severe economic repercussions. He noted that restoring autonomy and enforcing accountability within the IDC is critical if the institution is to fulfill its mandate of driving industrial growth and national development. Mr. Piri has since urged companies under the IDC umbrella to devise sustainable strategies to remain afloat amid the prevailing economic challenges facing the country.
Sort of got reinvigorated when we had when we got, I think, Marco Polo Towers on it. We had quite decent production, and they declared some profits. But I think the challenge with ITC is the challenge that I think Zambia has been grappling for a long time, where there's over-regulation from the state, and the ITC itself doesn't function as a private entity. I believe for us to make ITC a viable business venture, we need to detach state control and run it as a private entity, or get a management company involved in terms of as a management entity. Then the state just provides the oversight, because as it stands, there's a conflict of interest when the state is heavily involved in we saw it with Parastatals in the 90s. It's the same thing we're seeing with the ITC, where The companies are not free to operate.
In other news, Family Development Initiatives, FDI, team leader Sheikh Yusuf Ayami has welcomed a slight reduction in the cost of living reported in the September 2025 Basic Needs and Nutrition Basket by the Jesuit Center for Theological Reflection. JCTR figures show a decrease in the average monthly cost for a family of five in Lusaka from 11,432 kwacha 17 gwe in August to 11,289 kwacha 98 gwe in September. Sheikh Ayami acknowledged JCTR's consistent efforts in highlighting the realities faced by ordinary households and commended the organization for its evidence-based advocacy. The Muslim faith leader described the development as encouraging and a sign that ongoing efforts to stabilize the economy are beginning to bear fruit. He noted, however, JCTR's observation that rising prices for essential protein sources such as kapenta, beef and beans continue to strain household budgets and pose risk to nutritional security. Sheikh Ayami highlighted the importance of sustaining cost of living relief through inclusive economic measures. Among the key areas he emphasized were support for small-scale farmers, expansion for social protection programs, and empowerment of SMEs. These, he said, are critical to ensuring that families not only survive but thrive. Sheikh Ayami also stressed the need for collaborative action between government, civil society, and faith-based organizations. He said economic justice must be rooted in values of solidarity.